Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. China, TikTok, the news. Republican Senator Marco Rubio announced bipartisan legislation to ban China's popular social media app, TikTok. We welcome Alan Tonelson, an independent economic policy analyst. He blogs at Reality Check, our guide on manufacturing and trade. Alan, this sounds like something that matters to Gen Z and younger people to watch kittens stuck in dishwashers. However, the warning from the U.S. Congress and other distinguished voices is that the app can be used to spy on Americans or in some fashion to build up portfolios on Americans. Is banning TikTok part of a conversation between Beijing and Washington? Is this the larger trade war underway? Good evening to you.
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. It's certainly part of the larger economic and tech war between the two countries. However, I have to say that banning TikTok, at least in my opinion, shouldn't even be a conversation. And although I do applaud Senator Rubio and his two co-sponsors, Congressman Mike Gallagher, a Republican, and Congressman Christian Murphy, a Democrat, for introducing this legislation, the fact is this is as close to a no-brainer as U.S. policy issues get. And TikTok should not only have been banned a long time ago, it should have never even been let into the country, because every Chinese entity, including social media entities like TikTok, have no choice but to serve the interests of the Chinese Communist Party when they are so summoned. And that in and of itself poses an unacceptable risk to American national security, to Americans' privacy, and whoever let them into this country in the first place needs to be drawn and quartered. Figuratively, of course.
I add this news in the same light. China's largest chip maker, SMIC, is ramping up production of a decade-old chip technology, key to many industry supply chains, setting off alarm bells in the United States. Is this more significant, Alan?
I would say that it's also very significant. And the reason is that U.S. companies have had so much intellectual property stolen by China from them over quite a few decades, and have also voluntarily transferred so much valuable technology, including semiconductor-related technology, to China over those same decades, that I don't think it's possible anymore for American policy to significantly slow China's manufacturing of what are called legacy chips, those semiconductors that are not cutting edge, but the same ones that are found not only ubiquitously all over the American economy, every electronic product and service that we use, but are also used in most U.S. legacy, in most U.S. weapon systems. But we can still halt, or at least significantly slow, China's progress toward making more cutting edge chips. And in that sense, President Biden actually deserves quite a lot of credit for instituting a series of increasingly tough export controls, especially on U.S. manufacturers of semiconductor production equipment, which are typically state-of-the-art manufacturers.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, would it be economically possible or feasible if the United States just banned the importation into the U.S. of Chinese-made legacy chips?
That would definitely be disruptive in the short term. So I think precisely because we've become so reliant on these products. But certainly the aim of U.S. policy should be exactly what the longer term aim of U.S. policy should be exactly what you've said, We don't want to be dependent to the slightest degree on any Chinese imports of any high-tech products, including products that are so widely used throughout our entire economy and national security apparatus.
The news also includes lots of banning going on, Alan.
Right. So
layers of it.
Although not enough yet.
Could cut Huawei and other foreign firms from the U.S. financial system. That sounds the same sort of weapon you use against Iran, for example. Is this going to be effective?
It's going to be extremely effective. And once again, the question is, why wasn't this done a long time ago, especially since it's been years since Huawei has been banned from doing business with anybody in the American economy. So why not cut them off from the global financial system, which is going to significantly interfere with their ability to do business anywhere?
Gordon, is this an atomic weapon they're using in trade? It says that lawmakers introduced the legislation. It hasn't happened yet, but it certainly is serious when it comes to a sovereign states like Iran. Will it hurt Huawei in the same fashion?
I think that it will. China is trying to develop alternatives to the U.S. dollar. But once you deny a company access to the U.S. financial system and the banking system, it's essentially, it is a nuclear weapon. And we should be employing more of it because we know that Chinese entities have been using our financial system in ways that violate U.S. law and ways which seriously undermine U.S. national security. As Alan says, it should have been done a long time ago.
There has been a call for some time that the U.S. needs to deal with the fact that China is aggressive in a whole of government, of a whole of society fashion. Are we matching that right now, Gordon? Are we returning it?
Absolutely not. Just a few hours ago, we learned that CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, declined to exercise jurisdiction on the $700 million facility that a Chinese food processor wants to build within 12 miles of the Grand Forks Air Force Base, which has sensitive satellite uplinks. I mean, this to me is inconceivable, John. Let me stop because I'll get upset.
Yes, you have a question for Alan.
I'm just trying to get not upset.
Alan, I'm upset too.
Alan, let me just bring this CFIUS decision on you, mm-hmm. which I just learned about. Why doesn't CFIUS have jurisdiction over all foreign investment into the U.S.? Apparently, they said that they don't have the ability to stop Fufeng, which is this Chinese food processor, from making this investment, which obviously is a concern from a national security viewpoint. Why don't we have that jurisdiction?
I can identify two reasons. First of all, because U.S. policy toward global trade and global investment and national security has for so long been run by a globalist foreign policy blob, as it's been called, that's completely bipartisan, that's headquartered in Washington, D.C., that consists of many pre-Trump U.S. administrations, and that has... And it simply takes way too seriously the idea that it's very strongly in U.S. national interest to integrate more completely into the global economy, even though a strongly adversarial country like China has become a big part of that global economy. The second reason is that U.S. policymaking remains so darn legalistic, even when dire questions of national security have been concerned. And we really need to get out of that mindset. We need to understand, again, that a whole of government approach needs to be adopted towards the China threat. And we don't need more legalistic mechanisms and specific rules because law, unfortunately, however much we value its use inside this country, is of almost no use when it comes to dealing with a very dangerous world and a very dangerous rival like China.
Final.
In fact, it's a major impediment often.
Final question. Very simple answer. We have 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Will Congress go along and ban Tic Tac, Alan?
I'm not so sure about this one, John, but I think there will be strong bipartisan support. How much exactly? Not yet sure.
Alan Tonelson, Reality Check is where he blogs, independent economic analyst Gordon Chang. I'm John Bash.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.